Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Crossing Broad and all the local sites don't even know about this story, but the Super Bowl, this Super Bowl event is never ending. I mean, you just go online. Forget it being the second Super Bowl. The second Super Bowl seems to be more excitement than the first Super Bowl, which is hard to believe. But big parade here. People are not tired of celebrating yet.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a lot of cold beer here, and there's a lot of hot chicks. So beer. I'm going to be in the boat parade.
What celebration will last longer, the Eagles' second Super Bowl or Trump's second presidential victory? Let's put that up as a poll question on YouTube. But we continue.
The Trump celebration has a four-year lifespan, I think, right now. I think the shelf life, you know, by next September, when the Eagles play again, and if they lose an exhibition game, we'll go back to being normal in Philadelphia again.
You know? After a second thought, Tony, I'm all trumped out. Let's get it back to the...
Let's get it back to Philly spring training, baseball, and Clearwater. I'm ready to move on. Let's get it back to the Phillies now.
Yep. As Stalker, you were saying, if you'd like to continue.
But, by the way, I would. But I want to make an announcement that we have tickets to give away today, tomorrow, and Friday.
I see that.
It was just announced yesterday. So it's like a win them before you can buy them type of thing.
Love that.
We have tickets to see Paul Simon at the Academy of Music in Philadelphia on June 28th.
Okay.
So I don't think tickets go on sale until Friday. So you can win them before you can buy them all this week on Kale & Company. We'll do the giveaway at about 9:50 this morning.
Very cool.
Right before Phil's Today in Music.
That's right.
Yesterday, Trump held a press conference at Mar-a-Lago before the interview with Sean Hannity. Well, that interview with Sean Hannity was taped.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Last week.
Sean Hannity's whole show today will be taped on the radio.
It always is. It always is. I need to use your studios, but I need to use them from 1:30 to 3:30. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought your show aired from 3 to 6. We need blackout curtains, too, so nobody can see what we do in here and see my entire show scripted.
I love sticking people.
Sorry. Just a little bitter about it, the time he came here to Philadelphia. Anyway, I digress. he took questions from the press yesterday. Let's start here with Cut 6. There's a lot of discussion about the, you know, what's happening with Ukraine and Russia. He was asked about European peacekeeping troops in Ukraine as this thing hopefully winds down. Roll it.
Sir, do you support stationing European peacekeeping troops in Ukraine as part of this peace deal?
If they want to do that, that's great. I'm all for it. If they want to do that, I think that's that'd be fine. I mean, I know France has mentioned it. Others have mentioned it. UK has mentioned it. But if we have a peace deal, I think having troops over there from the standpoint of Europe, we won't have to put any over there because, you know, we're very far away. But having troops over there would be fine. I would not object to it at all. We're talking about this now. Peace. We have either a ceasefire or a peace itself. And we're looking to do both. Would start off with the ceasefire. And if they want to do that, I know France was willing to do that, and I thought that was a beautiful gesture. Yeah, please.
France. Ugh.
Chronologically, what's happening here is, remember last week, Pete Hegseth had his press conference where he said, we're not going to go back to the pre-2014 borders. There will not be American troops, and there will be no more American funding heading that way. Now people in the last 3 to 4 days in their feelings over the fact that Trump and Putin are negotiating the terms and Zelensky's kind of on the outside looking in at all of this. But I saw a poll yesterday from Harry Enten, and this really illustrates my main point. 3 years ago, when this war started, only 7% of Americans said we're doing too much. We're being overly involved as the global police. That number 3 years later now is 41%. I actually think it should be higher. It might be higher based on CNN polling. Who knows? Maybe that's underrepresented. I think there's a lot of Americans that are at the point now where we've done our part. Let's stop being so involved and let's get this thing taken care of and worry about what's happening here abroad. I really think that that's the majority opinion.
Yeah. He discussed more about what's happening in Ukraine. This is Cut 9, Phil. Go.
Do you have any message for Ukrainians who, after 3 years of fighting, might feel betrayed or disappointed at not having a seat at these initial talks in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think I'm really disappointed in what's happened. I've been watching this for 3 years. It's a war that would have never happened if I was president. And I've been watching these, you know, people being killed at levels that you've rarely seen, not even close, since the Second World War. And I'm very disappointed. I hear that, you know, they're upset about not having a seat. Well, they've had a seat for 3 years and a long time before that. This could have been settled very easily. Just a half-baked negotiator could have settled this years ago without the loss of much land, very little land, without the loss of any lives, and without the loss of cities that are just laying on their sides. You have those magnificent golden domes that are shattered, will never be replaced. You can't replace them. 1,000-year-old domes that are so beautiful, you can't replace that. The whole civilization has changed because of what? So when they're worried about not being seated, you mean somebody that should have gone in and made a deal a long time ago. You could have made a deal. This is one that could have made a deal. There was no talk of this during the Trump administration. Putin would have never, ever done it. And by the way, we wouldn't have had October 7th. You know that. We wouldn't have had October 7th either in Israel. And we wouldn't have had that mess that's going on over there. It's like we have great fire people here. We're putting out fires all over the world. We're putting out fires. So that wouldn't have happened. And you know what else wouldn't have happened? Inflation. Because it was caused really by the cost of energy going through the roof because of their bad energy policies and also their spending, their terrible spending, wasteful spending on the Green New scam. It's a scam. It's a whole big scam. Yeah, please.
You know what I always find frustrating when we talk about Russia-Ukraine? If you have a conversation with somebody that disagrees with you and you say, well, I'm tired of, you know, funding Ukraine, giving them billions upon billions of dollars, they immediately clap back at you, Tony and Dawn, with, oh, so you're pro-Russia. You're in favor of Putin. Are you like Trump? Right. Are you a puppet for Putin? And I'm like, no. But, I mean, let's be honest. We have to eventually cut off the slush fund. And the question that you should always be able to hit people back with is, what would Ukraine be today if it wasn't for our involvement the last 3 years? We've given Zelensky almost every, I mean, we couldn't go a week on this show since we launched in October of 2022, when this thing started in February of 22, without a week going by where the Biden administration didn't have another press release saying, here's another $350 million in aid for Ukraine and Zelensky. At what point do we have to cut off the funds?
Nearly $66 billion in military assistance. Now, just be aware that MSNBC and CNN, they're all saying the headline is Trump blames Zelensky. That's the headline. So Trump.
And he didn't.
By that quote. No, he didn't, Tony. He's right. He's saying they could have done a deal earlier. Did he blame Zelensky there? Did you hear that?
No, what he did is he said that Zelensky feels, you know, shunned. But the reason they started with Russia, because Russia started the war. Getting to sit down with Putin, they're going to bring Zelensky in. But Zelensky's out there every day crying about he needs more troops on the ground and boots on the ground and more money. And he needs everybody to send millions of troops over there to try to win a war, which is not going to, it's not going to end well for Ukraine. More people are going to die. You know, people, they're not going to beat Russia. And again, I'm not rooting for Russia. I want the war to end, just like most people who understand. You notice all the flags, the Ukrainian flags and everybody's logos are now disappearing. Mm-hmm. People are tired of war.
Yep.
People are tired of war and tired of sending money to have people killed, you know, in an area, let's be honest, Ukraine, and that's nowhere near us. We got to get out of these stinking, never-ending wars. And if anybody thinks that we need to be, you're in Lindsey Graham if you think we need to keep sending more money. Talk about a guy who should be run out of there. You know who's going to run against her, right?
Who?
You see who's going to run against her?
Who?
Nancy Mace is going to run against.
Mace against?
Lindsey Graham.
Really?
Yes. Oh. That's your inside politics this morning from my insiders.
Your South Carolina sources?
In South Carolina.
I like that little state.
When the old ball coach was down there for a while. You know that.
Yeah, Steve Spurrier.
Hopefully, Phil, you have the new clips I just sent you. Do you have cut 28, Phil? Yeah, there you go. So, Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Okay.
There we go.
Buttigieg! There we go.
I've got six pages. I got to toggle.
Was talking about the Republicans and MAGA infiltrating the social media space. And he says that Democrats need to do a better job of, quote, infiltrating non-political spaces. Roll this.
Okay. But what I'm really worried about are the people who are not watching CNN or Fox and who are...
I'm worried about that, too.
A lot of folks aren't looking for political comment, but it's finding them. And it's finding them wrapped up in a lot of cultural stuff. You could be on parenting Instagram and you're getting this trad wife stuff with a little politics inflected into it, or Rogan or the rest of it. And I think we really need to be much smarter about taking this conversation to places where it's not reaching folks.
So I would say this. First of all, if Mayor Pete ends up the Democrat nominee in 2028, Republicans win in whatever you would constitute a landslide these days. But secondly, I actually don't disagree with what he's saying there. We saw this past election cycle more than ever the rejection of many things. But for this, the sake of this conversation, the rejection of legacy media, and really, even, you know, I get it. Fox has great ratings. They trounce CNN. They beat MSNBC in a solid fashion. But people, I mean, they're going to talk radio. They're going to podcasts. They're going to streamers. And when we talk about the infiltration of politics into non-political spaces, honestly, you know who created that? Democrats. How many times have we gone to sports and we're getting hit with political and social justice messaging when we go there for the escape from reality and the escape from politics and social and cultural issues? So the Democrats, not only did they get outworked and outplayed in the social media space by the Rogans and the Tuckers with his own network and that gamer guy that Barron recruited and things like that, and Trump using TikTok like never before, but they're the ones who kind of created this acceptance of, hey, politics are going to bleed into other venues and it's going to be consumed whether or not it was meant to be intended that way in the first place.
How rich of it, though, is that Mayor Pete, now after doing pretty much nothing for 4 years other than making everything about DEI and chest feeding and all that other nonsense, he didn't go to any of the disasters right away. So now he's micromanaging and criticizing the efforts of the Trump administration, new appointees doing their jobs. Pete Buttigieg is the absolute poster child of DEI failures. This Mayor guy Pete couldn't fix potholes. He couldn't fix potholes in South Bend, Indiana, for God's sake. So listen, he can do whatever he wants and run, but the fact that he's now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, micromanaging what's going on with disaster areas is an absolute joke. Anybody who votes for this guy will get the kind of moronic behavior that this guy, all they care about is his sexuality. By the way, Scott Bessent, the new Treasury Secretary, he is the highest ranking gay man in the Trump administration. But you know why you don't know about it? Because Trump doesn't say, hey, I just hired another gay guy because he's gay.
I actually had no idea.
Scott Bessent is openly gay.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I did not know.
Donald Trump has hired more gay people in his administration, but he doesn't make a big deal about it. Right. He doesn't hire people because of their sexual preference. Scott Bessent is now the highest ranking member of a government who happens to be openly gay. Wow. So that's what this whole thing is. You hire the best people. You don't care about with their sexuality, their race, color, creed, or any of that nonsense. Only Joe Biden and the DEI losers cared about that.
By the way, population South Bend, Indiana, 103,000.
Exactly. They can't even fill up Notre Dame Stadium. Oh. His whole city couldn't fill up Notre Dame Stadium. Oh. With a Rose Bowl.
Caroline Leavitt was asked yesterday about, we mentioned this earlier, about, you know, Elon Musk, is he in charge of Doge? Is he not in charge of Doge? What's his title? Mm-hmm. She answered this yesterday. This is Cut 27. Go.
Before filing last night, the Trump administration said he has no formal authority to actually make decisions. We know he's a special government employee, but is he making decisions? How does that process work with him at the helm of Doge?
First of all, President Trump is the ultimate decision maker for this entire administration. Elon Musk, just like everybody else across the federal government, works at the direction of President Trump. Elon Musk is a special government employee, as I have told you before. He serves as a senior advisor to the president, if you will, within the executive office of the president. Doge has people that, again, again, are onboarding as political appointees at every respective agency, and they are working alongside our agency partners and the secretaries that President Trump nominated and have been confirmed by the United States Senate to identify waste, fraud, and abuse at these agencies, and that's his role.
But do they have authority, does he or other DOGE employees have authority to make decisions on some of the firings?
DOGE does not have statutory authority. We've been very clear about that. Again, DOGE is advising these agencies. It's ultimately up to the discretion of these secretaries to make these hirings and these firings. And again, everybody is working as one team. You've seen some of the secretaries speak out about the cuts that they have made and the way that they are saving American taxpayers' dollars. Secretary Rubio talking about the USAID cuts as just one example.
The filing that Elena was talking about specifically said that Elon Musk is not the administrator of DOGE. Mm-hmm. Who is the administrator, and is Musk directly consulted with that person?
Again, I just answered this question about Elon Musk. He is a special government employee within the executive office of the president, and the agencies are directing the cuts and the cuts of the wasteful spending.
Here's how I would describe Elon Musk and DOGE. I'm going to use a radio example because I got to stick to what I know, and I know radio. So radio stations sometimes hire consultants. They are outside advisors. Yeah, usually the slapdick programmers that don't know their ass from their elbow waste a lot of money for a guy in another market to come in and say, this is how I think you should run your radio station.
You mean, in other words, guys who failed at radio then come in and tell you how to do radio.
To tell you how to do your job. That's correct.
Yeah, I love those people.
Yes. So Elon Musk is the radio consultant from Phoenix, Arizona, that's flying to Philadelphia to help out Bob, who doesn't know how to figure out a lineup. And he is saying, look, this is what you're paying these people. What's your budget? What are your ratings? Blibbity blobbity blue. Here's what I would do. Now, I don't have the authority to tell you to do that. I am giving you my outside opinion, objectively looking at it and saying, if I were you, this is the avenue I would go down. That is what Elon Musk is doing. And ultimately, Trump will sit there and say, okay, so you say we should go from 1,400 to 300 employees in Department X. And Elon says, yes, sir. And he goes, okay, let's make it 300. Or maybe he says, you know what? No, I don't think we should go that low. Let's keep it at 500. Seems a little light. And I'm sure that those are the conversations that probably go on. Did I sum it up for all the people that cry about, I didn't vote for Elon Musk. This is a threat to democracy. Yes, you voted for it, or you didn't vote for it. Either way, Trump told you it was coming. So there's been no shocks. There's been no surprises. He said he was going to do this. He said this back in August, in September. Musk jumping around like a nut job. So you shouldn't be shocked by anything.
No, and what's amazing to me is you start realizing these members of the media are dull normal. I'm serious. Caroline Leavitt must feel like she's looking at them like, you're kidding me, right? She has answered this question about DOGE and Elon Musk repeatedly.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. I mean, we could play it back. It's been, you know, where she's talked about the special employment, the contract, all of that. And so the fact that they keep recycling, either they're just stupid or they just want to perpetuate this. But, you know, it's absurd. And part of it is they don't want to report on what DOGE is finding. But I'll just remind you that once again, this is all being tested. The DOGE, this whole format by which they're doing this and hiring of Elon Musk, it's challenged. I just reported since 6 o'clock this morning, Judge Chutkan, again, a federal judge, just yesterday, again, she ruled on this. So they keep trying to go to the courts. They keep trying to defeat DOGE or Musk or the Trump administration, and they keep losing in court. They lost again yesterday, and that was an Obama-appointed judge. We know Judge Chutkan. We know her Chutkan. We talk about her all the time. So she, again, did not place a ban on this.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets it's passing the smell test, if you will, from these federal judges.
Yeah, and this is nothing more than a tug of war. I mean, it's going, you know, a little bit in the direction of Trump and those that are fiscally conservative and want to, you know, spend less and trim the deficit and have more money in your pocket as a taxpayer. But if the Democrats win in 2028, it'll be back to business. It'll be the same thing. They'll repopulate all these agencies. They'll rehire all these people or a good portion of them. And we'll be back to square one.
We should break and come back and do Dawn's Big Three.
All right. Tony Bruno will stick around.
I'm going to have to fly, though. No, I got to fly.
You're out.
A lot at 10 o'clock. I got to get up to the house because today we have roofing action and stucco action and insulation action. I'll be breaking in during the dawn show with any late breaking developments from the Il Paradiso Bruno restart. We've rebooted the construction action, and I know we'll break in. I know Dawn may be talking about something a little more important, but let's be honest. Right. Everybody wants to know how the house
is
going.
Yeah. Let us know. It'll be Bruno breaking news.
Yes. Don't forget, take your big jugs with you as well.
Yes.
Don't
forget.
Absolutely.
Your big
They're always there.
Stay hydrated.
Got to stay hydrated.
Damn right. And stay woke. All right. There he is, Tony Bruno.
Love you,
brother. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Tony.
Good night, everybody.
All right. There he is. We'll come back. Big three. Music, movies, giveaways, all the goodies coming up because you've been a good group of boys and girls this morning. We will reward you, as we always do. It's Kale and Company. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Phil Omquist today in music history. Jimmy Kelly with our movie clip and a great prize, which Stocker told you about a little while ago.
Paul Simon tickets coming up in 20 minutes. Your chance to win him before you can buy him. He's coming to the Academy of Music in Philadelphia on June 28th. We will have them before you can buy them. They don't go on sale until Friday. We will have them all for the rest of the week. And your first chance to win will coming up at 9:50 this morning.
That's right.
20 minutes from now.
We will also find out what is in store for the Dawn Show coming up in just about 30 minutes. But right now, let's get caught up in the world of news. Time for a Dawn Stensland Big 3 at 9:30.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Number one on this Wednesday morning, Pennsylvania Doge. Yes, we have two proposals planned for introduction in the Pennsylvania State Senate, and they want to uncover fraud, waste, and abuse of government funds. Sound familiar?
Statewide,
Pennsylvania Doge. And this is the recommendation of one Republican Senator Doug Mastriano, as well as others. But Mastriano, State Senator Mastriano, circulating a co-sponsorship memo for the creation of the Pennsylvania Department of Government Efficiency, PA Doge.
I like it. Every state should have a Doge, and every state should have their elections wrapped up like Florida in one day.
Amen.
I don't know how anybody can be against either, but it's just me.
Yes. So will we get this? And then what's the vision here? So in Senator Mastriano's memo, he says that the key provisions in his vision for Pennsylvania's version of DOGE would be accountability to the legislature, auditing authority over all Commonwealth agencies, immediate temporary suspension of payments that are deemed to be inefficient or unnecessary. And then they would have bipartisan oversight, but also that any payments deemed unnecessary would be suspended immediately. Any unspent funds would be returned to the general fund, so reinforcing the accountability and responsible governance. So they would be put back into the general fund, so all Pennsylvanians then would have, you know, access to that money.
Okay.
So we got that number one we've got going on. Number two, let's talk, since we were talking about Doge, I'll update you on Elon Musk and what's going on as far as Elon Musk today. So what they're saying is that Doge is promising to simplify the federal government's credit card programs after costing taxpayers nearly $40 billion last year.
In interest.
So, well, what they're saying is that these U.S. government, these are government employees.
Okay.
Which they're saying, if you count the contractors, I guess contractors get them. That's why it's more than 3 million employees, but they have 4.6 million active credit card accounts. So how come you have 4.6 million active credit card accounts, but even with the contractors, you only have a little over 3 million people?
Am I out of line or not following the story well enough to maybe wonder if these federal employees are using credit cards for like dinners and lunches at the taxpayer's dime?
I think that's what they want to know.
Okay.
They want to know, where is all this money going?
Yeah, because I'm not paying for your happy hours.
And I don't have the answers, Nick. Okay. That this is the General Services Administration. I mean, this program, we've had fun with this in previous years.
Yeah. I don't want to pay for my own happy hours.
So we got that going on. And by the way, United States Senator number three, John Fetterman, going after billionaire Elon Musk this week over a report that the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, has been trying to access the IRS. So this is Fetterman now taking some pot shots at Elon Musk and blaming, you know, blaming Musk over Doge, but going after him, saying that he wants to save billions of dollars, mm-hmm. making government more, you know, efficient. But he's taking some pot shots and calling it creating chaos.
Yeah, Fetterman's starting to slide back to the other side now. He had his little run of saying Republican talking points, and now lately he's gone the opposite end. I think maybe he might be stroking again. We don't know. We'll find out.
Uh-oh.
Poor guy.
But specifically, he put out on social media, rummaging through your personal S is not that. A party of chaos loses always. So that was, you know, one of Fetterman's pot shots.
Yeah, but you know what's astounding about all of this is the Democrats that are mad about any of these Trump officials looking into the IRS and looking into... You act as if the federal government hasn't looked at your stuff before. Like, is this really anything groundbreaking in news development-wise that, oh my God, a federal government employee, whether elected or a bureaucrat, whether who, you know, somebody's a 1099 independent contractor or not getting paid at all, is looking at your personal information? These are probably the same people that have no problem downloading app after app and knowing that all these big corporations know everything they're doing. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
Your information's out there. I got news for you.
But isn't it kind of ironic and thick that the very people who've been looking at us, the regular citizens, now they're being looked at, right, by an agency that is promoting efficiency and accountability.
Right.
So basically, the way they've been treating us and looking at us,
yep.
they don't want to be treated that way.
Yes, they're no longer privy to their little insulated bubble. They're being looked at too. Good. Let everybody. If you're collecting a dime in this country, on the books or off the books, you should be looked at. And I want these federal bozos to be ousted, because we know a lot of them, especially the political ones that are truly there because they got voted in. They're not there for their $170,000. That just gets them in the door. They've got bigger aspirations.
Yeah, and if you missed it, we did talk about multiple times this morning that a federal judge has just ruled again yesterday, that Elon Musk, Department of Government Efficiency, yes, they can continue to access government data systems, and there are still ongoing legal challenges. But thus far, winning those challenges, the layoffs, federal layoffs continue, and their latest target, one of the latest targets, IRS, Social Security. Those are some of the headlines this morning. Kale and Company, Big Three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, final story of the day. F around and find out parenting, the trend of natural consequences, and it will restore your faith in raising your child. Very interesting story on a new trend. We'll talk about that before we wrap things up next here on Kale and Company.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
FAFO parenting, the trend of natural consequences that will restore your faith. So apparently there's this trend on social media that started 2 or 3 years ago that has really picked up steam. The New York Post wrote about it. They say, if seeing gentle parenting everywhere has given you the ick, don't worry. A new trend is on the rise. F around and find out. Known in 2025 as FAFO on social media, this parenting style encourages kids to find out the natural consequences of their behavior that they've been warned against, as long as they're not in serious danger. Quote,
authoritarian, there you go.
Authoritative parenting, but with a FAFO subgenre. For example, a child might refuse to eat their dinner only to realize they're hungry later or want to go outside with a jacket and unsurprisingly get cold. Well, TikTok creator, Hey, I'm Janelle, first shared her experience with FAFO parenting in 2022, and it's recently gained more attention as parents turn on the negotiating and discussions associated with gentle parenting. She says, quote, I practice this type of parenting, but within what I would consider a subgenre that I would call F around and find out. Kids get their natural consequences and get to figure out life through this approach.
You know who's making this famous?
Who?
Kylie Kelsey.
Is she really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'm absolutely against it. I'm against everything Kelsey related. But I think I subscribe to this a little bit. Probably more if I would have had twin boys than with twin girls. But my girls, it's amazing. I don't know if it's because they spent a bulk of their middle portion of their 10 years in Tennessee. They just don't wear a coat outside anymore. They want to wear sandals and those Crocs.
I don't wear a coat outside.
Without socks in January to school.
Yeah.
And like I lose my mind over it, and I tell them, you're not going to do that.
It's not going to make them sick.
I know that. Thank you, Dawn.
They're fine.
It's a big myth.
The old wives tell, like, if you go outside with a wet head, you're going to get pneumonia.
Yeah, my grandmother used to
tell me. If you go outside and you're sick, you're going to get worse. You're going to get pneumonia. No, you're not.
Yep.
No, you're not. Stop. Like if you go to bed with a wet head, you know, you're going to get sick.
Yeah.
Another old wives tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just say, do me a favor. Just bring a coat. That's what I've said for years. Bring a coat to school just so I don't look bad, but hang it up. Leave it there in your locker. Leave it. It's fine.
Well, you always have to repeat yourself with kids. So I will say the, quote, right thing. And then if they bug me about it 10 minutes later, I say, okay, you know what? If you're cold when we go on the pumpkin patch ride, do not ask me for my sweatshirt because you had the opportunity and now you're going to be cold.
Yep.
Okay?
For some reason, Nick talking about the pumpkin patch ride tickles me. That just tickles me. It's funny. First serious about the pumpkin patch ride.
A big pumpkin patch ride kind of guy.
But Dawn is correct. I always, my son doesn't like to wear a coat either.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, I make him put on a coat just because I don't want what the other parents are going to say. Yep. Like,
but I'm honest. He'd like be honest about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mia yesterday. Boy, it feels great out, doesn't it, Dad? It's 28. What do you mean it feels great out? Where were you born in Peru?
Yeah.
It feels great out. It's ridiculous. And then, you know, my daughters, they're very into salads. So now my daughters want to make their own salad. And I said, okay, I'm going to let you use the butter knife to cut the lettuce and the tomato and the cucumber. You're not using, like, the steak knife. Because I'm not having my kid chop off his limb or whatever. So I give them the butter knife.
Butter.
And what happens, of course, they're not paying attention. They wanted to stream on Facebook on their phone cutting the salad.
No.
And this was where I drew the line on the FAFO. I said, you're not live streaming your salad cutting experience for the rest of the world.
You got to step in, bro.
I did.
There's a lot going on.
Not
everything needs to be on Twitter.
I said that. I said, you do not need to document your life on Snapchat, TikTok, or any other godforsaken app that I'm not on. I lay down the law.
All right, we have to get to this.
All right, Philip, let's get to movies.
The morning mystery movie clip on Kalen Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly what I need. Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, let's go. That's what I need. Let's do that. Let's do exactly that.
Why does it say paper jam when there is no paper jam? I swear to God, one of these days I just kick this piece of shit out the window.
You and me both, man. Thing is, lucky I'm not armed.
Piece of shit.
Such a great movie. Such a great movie.
You know
it came out today.
You can call it 12 at 855-839-1210.
1999?
Correct. Great prize.
Yeah.
Today's great prize is a pair of tickets to see Paul Simon in concert on June 28th. At the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. That is this Friday, February 21st, at Ticketmaster.com. You can win them before you can buy them right here on Kale & Company today, tomorrow, and on Friday.
What a
prize.
Call
12-855-839-1210. Came out 26 years ago today. Right now, time for Phil Almquist with Today in Music History.
February 19th, we celebrate the birthdays of Andy Powell from Wishbone Ash, who's 75, Smokey Robinson, who's 85, Doug Aldrich, who's 61, Todd LaTorre, who's 51, Paul Dean from Loverboy, who's 79, and Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath, who's 77. Heavenly birthday shouts to Alan Merrill from The Arrows, as well as Falco. We also lost Bon Scott from AC/DC on this day in 1980. And Carrie Brooker from Procol Harum in 2022. Six include Losing My Religion by R.E.M. in 91. Advice for the Young at Heart by Tears for Fears in 90. And Another Day by Paul McCartney in 71. Albums include The Yes Album by Yes in 71. She's the Boss by Mick Jagger in 85. Skunk Works by Bruce Dickinson in 96. Victorious by Wolf Mother in 2016. And Ink by The Fix in 91. Also in 95, Roxette became the first Western group to perform in Beijing since George Michael in 84. On the same day, Pamela Anderson married Tommy Lee of Motley Crue. In 82, Ozzy was arrested for urinating on a statue near the Alamo.
Yeah.
In 2008, Definitely Maybe by Oasis was voted the best British album ever. The fact Revolver by the Beatles was third invalidates the list. In 58, Carl Perkins signed with Sun Records. In 65, Rod Stewart played his first major gig. In 2006, Bon Jovi performed before the Daytona 500. In 74, the first American Music Awards aired. And on this day in 1878, Thomas Edison patents the phonograph. But lastly, since some of you now apparently care about shows not in our area, specifically a festival in Wisconsin headlined by Creed and Nickelback, I'll give you this. On March 28th, there's a Taylor Swift tribute show in France.
I'm going.
Uh-oh.
For Kale Company. I'm Phil Upwood.
We're taking the girls. We're going to France.
That was for an audience of one.
That's right.
Or
great stuff.
Four.
Phil Longquist. He slammed the paper down, too.
I know.
Yeah, he's like with authority.
He was very upset.
He was very upset.
That he tried to.
You should have seen a text group.
You know, when I get done from now on, I will not offer up any other insights.
Nope.
You guys can have at it. I'm going to take my damn nap.
Yeah.
All right. Let's find out who won the movie clip today. Rich is in Glenmore. He's up next. Rich, hello. What movie do we play for you, sir?
That would be Office Space.
That's correct. Rich.
Woo! A Mike Judge creation. Nice work, Rich. Congratulations. You've won the prize.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he's on speakerphone from the bathroom, probably. Great work out of Rich. By the way, Mike Judge, I think, brilliant mind that doesn't get the credit he deserves for a lot of his creations.
Absolutely.
Yep. Office Space, Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, Idiocracy.
It's right unbelievable.
There.
Yep.
Right there, he should be out on Mount Rushmore for those four.
Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, she'll be inducted in a matter of a few years. The great Dawn Stensland, and she's up in 7 minutes. What do we have lined up?
Oh, we have so much breaking locally, and we'll update you on everything that's going on, especially in the suburbs and focusing on one of the suburbs, Montgomery County. So we've got a lot going on there. Two great interviews today. One is a Christian doctor, physician, assistant who was fired for her views and her opposition to some, you know, transgender affirming type policies that she was forced into. She was called evil. She has her day in court. So you'll hear from Valerie Klusterman. She's going to be coming up. And then artificial intelligence. I'm going to be doing a lot on this because I think this is the future, AI. Who pays for it? Do you pay for it? And will your tax dollars pay for it? So a great guest focusing on artificial intelligence amid all of the statewide, local, national, Trump, Elon, we got it all.
Just don't go joining any transgendered, vegan, anti-AI cults in the next 2 hours, Dawn. That's all I'm concerned with. All right. Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow, 7:45 for the cut sheet. Joe Conklin in studio.
Woo!
Have a great rest of your day.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.